This is Kate Beckinsale. You're listening to Bacon Sale.
Well, fly me to the moon. It's time for Bacon Sale to go back in black into a format we've done before and let you know which movies we are craving this summer. In a plot twist of plot twisters, we're also going to be turning things inside out, too, and tell you about the movies we want to bomb. No, this isn't a trap, but don't get furiosa and call us bad boys for our opinions. Especially if we, the watchers of all these summer movie trailers, mention a film that may come out in the fall, guy.
Candy bars!
I may just take that and make it the episode blurb.
Yeah, no, you really should, because then we'll award it at the end of the year for your creativity.
Yay! Love the candy bar intros. Yeah. But welcome to Big Sale. I'm Joel.
I'm Kent.
And I'm Zach.
I'd like to thank you for listening to our last show, our conventional, you know what it is.
There's three of them.
The convention show.
Yeah, the convention show. We talked with Kyler.
Special thanks to Kyler for being here for that.
Indeed, yes.
And special thanks to everybody who commented and played along. It was fun on social media this week, but shout out to Kathy Larson, who said, I went to Kyler's podcast panel at LTUE in February 2020. Nothing bad happened after that.
Wow.
And then they raved about Bacon Sale.
Aww.
Thanks, guys. So much that I went home and started listening to episode one. Sorry, Kyler. I never did try the Star Wars podcast you were there to plug. You seemed more excited about these guys. 4 years later, I just finished the backlog this month. What?
Wow.
And I'm finally listening in real time. Thanks, Kyler. I owe you. Thank you, Kyler. But thank you, Kathy.
Yes.
That's a lot of dedication.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
How did the show change at all in like April of 2020? Did you notice anything?
did it get better?
Did it get worse? Don't answer that. Okay. Then shout out to Ryan Farron, who said, I've only been to conventions for work. Unless the Auto Expo counts, I think it counts.
It does.
I think it counts. I've never had a desire to go to a fan convention, but after listening to this episode, I still don't. Thanks for doing this. So I feel like I have been to a convention without actually having to go to one. Hey, there is a convention out there for you. There, I guarantee there's a Rush convention, Ryan.
And a robot convention.
Probably.
And Russian robots?
Not around these times.
Russian robots?
Yeah. We're going to avoid that. Okay. And then Crew Dutler on Twitter said, was Zach standing in line to meet a celebrity for most of this episode? He was silent. Then all of a sudden he comes back, drops all these cryptic stories about being Geek Squad for Nerd Herd Extraordinaire Zachary Levi and whatnot. We need more.
Yeah.
So do we.
I have a lot of stories and experiences from conventions, but I was...
Dinner was
not agreeing with me that
night.
You
were like the most interesting man in the world on that show that you wouldn't actually share the stories.
You know, I was...
We still need to hear your Patrick Warburton story off air.
Patrick Warburton. I was... what's her name in Schmidt's Creek?
Catherine O'Hara?
The daughter...
Ooh, David.
Yeah, whatever. Alexis.
Yes.
When Alexis comes in, she's like, oh yeah, it was like that time I was taken by the Russian mob or whatever. And they're like, what? And then they just move on.
Yeah.
I was the Alexis of the episode.
Yep. But that's not what we're talking about today. What are we talking about today, Zach?
We're looking ahead to the summer, Joel.
The summer?
The summer of movies.
Yes, it's time once again. We do this periodically throughout the season. We do kind of an overarching look at the movies that are coming out this year, the beginning of the season, and now we're into the summer movie preview, which is usually when the biggest movies are coming out.
Now, at the beginning of this year, we said 2024 looks really bad, and that could be because of the strike.
I would say bad, more like lackluster.
Yeah, lackluster.
Yeah.
And now having
it lacks bluster.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. So now that you guys have done a little bit more research on movies coming out, how do you feel about the summer? Is it still a little disappointing? Does it lack the luster?
I think it's more disappointing.
That's not the answer I was going for.
No, I'm just saying. I don't really care about the summer.
I looked at it again and I was like, yeah, there's some movies in here I'm interested, but it does not seem to be any huge tentpole movies, ones that are going to be really carrying studios through the summer.
So we're going to have to deal with tentpole movies.
Make that a thing. I actually am kind of liking 2024, and I'll tell you why. Mid-budget movies are back.
And who knows, maybe mid movies are as well.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I've been craving, right? It's these
craving.
You know, it's movies. When we say mid budget, it's not the big blockbuster, you know, superhero or Star Wars or whatever. And it's not the indie darling that's probably going to win the Oscars. It's
right.
Like, I don't know. What would you say is a famous mid budget movie in the past? Like a Ghostbusters, maybe? Maybe is that too much?
I mean, that
Wayne's
too...
World? Is Wayne's World a mid-tier?
Yeah.
Is a mid-budget
type movie?
That's safe
to say. Honestly, John Wick, something like that.
John Wick, yeah. Where it's not made for a ton of money.
Sure.
And but it has a chance to be pretty solid.
Yeah. So I'm kind of liking it. The mid in me is enjoying this summer.
The mid in you?
Yeah. I'm mid.
Big and sell.
So yes.
Okay.
We're going to go through these. We are going to give our bottom five, the ones we want to bomb, or we're just generally going to avoid.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get into our top five. So give you a little guide of what's coming up this summer. Because summer will go. We classify summer as May to like the end of August.
Yeah.
So May through August.
It's funny, we've always done this show at the first week of May.
Yeah.
And we always miss a pretty big movie. It's generally like a Marvel movie, first week
of
May.
So we bumped it back.
And so we're bumping it back a little bit.
Can I
just, whole scoop.
I'm just going to real quick throw out to you guys. Did you know last year, Joel, you look forward to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1. Mm-hmm. And Kent, you really look forward to Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. How'd that work out for you guys?
Great, I would say.
Mid.
Well, okay, and you really didn't want, you wanted Little Mermaid, Joel, to bomb.
Yes.
And Kent, you wanted The Flash to bomb.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that?
Oh, great.
Those are both, those are your number ones in those.
Yeah, they both bombed pretty well.
Okay, well, let's do it again this year.
Okay. Yeah, and I remember I was really excited for Mission Impossible. It didn't quite turn out as good.
Yeah,
as
Dead Reckoning, no longer part one, just Dead Reckoning.
Yeah.
It was your second highest.
Also, when is Beyond the Spider-Verse supposed to come out? Last month?
They got a...
It was meant to be last month.
Yeah, and then they pushed it.
I think it pushed to next year.
That's rude. Anyways, ridiculous. Here's what we know is actually coming out outside of like the Dune 2 rule, where they're going to, the week after record the show, they're going to push it back.
Hmm.
If you remember last year's fall show.
Dune!
Anyway, so let's start with the fifth bottom.
Joel? What is your fifth bottom, Joel? What is the movie you are fifth least looking forward to?
Fifth bottom makes sense.
What's your fourth favorite reptile?
It's not that complicated. This is out of the five movies I want to bomb, this is the fifth one. There you go.
Fifth bottom.
Yeah. You didn't make it any clearer.
Kraven the Hunter.
Kraven the Hunter.
Kraven the Hunter is coming out like right at the end of summer.
It's me again with another editor's note. Sony has decided to push this movie from August to December 13th, 2024. Thanks, Sony.
Number five? That's number five. You want to know why?
Why?
Because
you know it's going to be bad. Why is it not number one?
This movie?
No, because, I found the character of Kraven the Hunter. If you don't know, by the way, Kraven the Hunter is a character in the Spider-Man universe, and he wants to hunt. Spider-Man. Yes, I'm
Spider-Man,
right.
Spider-Man, yes.
I'm right.
It was on the anniversary show. Nobody got it.
Yeah. But
we
this
did a full show on it.
And so this is one of those things where, once again, Sony has not apparently learned a lesson that a Spider-Man movie with a Spider-Man villain without Spider-Man is not as good.
Right.
We saw this with Morbius.
Uh-huh.
We saw this with
Madame Web.
Madame Web.
There was a Spider-Man in Madame Web. A villainous Spider-Man.
Venom made $1 billion.
Venom is just dumb. So, but all those combined,
there's
what do you mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. So this is directed.
Hold on, was that Fat Albert or Venom?
Wow. I'm a symbiote.
A Fat Albert reference. We have not. Has that ever happened to Bacon?
Never.
I had to have.
What if the symbiote was Fat Albert?
That. What if Fat Albert is a symbiote?
What?
Okay, but Joel, this movie has Russell Crowe and Keanu Reeves.
So directed by J.C. Chander and starring Aaron Taylor-Johnson, who is in everything lately. Just feels like he keeps popping up.
Listen.
Except James Bond.
Ariana DeBois.
Russell
Crowe's in it as well. Here's the plot summary. Russian immigrant Sergei Kravinov is on a mission to prove that he is the greatest hunter in the world, which that is Kraven. He's the greatest hunter in the world, so he decides to start hunting Spider-Man because that is not because he's evil, just because this is a trophy.
Yeah.
This is something he can conquer.
Real quick. Sergei, best Russian name ever? Or close?
Ivan?
I'm a Vladimir kind of guy.
But then
you get Putin, who's kind of ruining that name.
No, yeah, I like Ivan. Ivan's real simple.
I'm going to go with Sergey. It's a good
save
one.
Save for our Russian name.
It's a bracket. It's a bracket.
Yes. Anyway, this was originally scheduled for October 6, 2023, and then they pushed it back.
Twice, clearly.
It is the fifth film in Sony's Spider-Man universe. And
so crazy.
Sam Raimi was actually going to have Kraven the Hunter in his fourth Spider-Man film before he got canceled.
He's going to have a ton of people then. He's going to be Vulture and Black Cat as well.
Yeah, I think it was going to be a villain full. They keep doing that with more villains. But right. Kraven the Hunter,
Black
I
Cat.
Just...
Oh, making biscuits.
The more I see this like non-Spider-Man universe, the more I'm like, why do you keep making these? Why do you keep doing this?
You know what's funny to me is the last half of No Way Home was so cool and so fun to see.
Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah. No Way Home.
Yeah.
It's like Fly Away Home.
There's probably a movie out there called No Way Home.
Yeah. But the last half, people give Sony the credit for that because of the use of Spider-Man, right?
Yes.
And they don't really like but generally the first half is not as smiled upon. And everyone's like, yay Sony. But look what Sony's doing with their own franchises, though.
Yeah.
They can't actually capitalize on what they have.
That's the thing, is there's some sort of weird relationship there with the MCU and Sony Pictures that is preventing Spider-Man from just being in everything.
Do you think it's like an issue with like Andrew Garfield? Because don't you think people would be excited if they got Andrew Garfield?
There is an issue with Andrew Garfield, which we all know
he hates them. Remember when they kind of got rid of him? And he was real upset. Oh, we all love Andrew Garfield. It's just so weird how they're doing this. Like the fact that you do have in Madame Web a version of a Spider-Man in 2003 that has a suit and everything.
Yeah.
The Venom exists as a Spider-Man looking character without any sort of influence.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And so that's why I chose it to be my fifth bomb.
Do you like the charisma of Aaron Taylor Johnson, though? Do you feel like he could somehow save movie like this?
If I may reference another Spider-Man villain.
Go on.
He's a chameleon. Because I feel like...
Crickets.
That's a character. But yeah, once also, no got that also question, just the right? animal. Because I feel like all of a sudden I'll be watching a movie and halfway through I'll be like, oh, hey, that's Aaron Taylor Johnson. Like he's
like
just
Tenet.
One. Yeah.
Remember he's in that?
No.
What? Is he?
Yeah.
Where?
He's like the Rip soldier.
Whoa.
He's jacked.
I had no idea.
Did you guys see Bullet Train?
Yes. And that surprised
Zach,
me.
You're missing out.
I know.
It is a sleeper.
I was saving it for the day that he was announced as James Bond, and that day has not come.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Totally worth it.
That's my pick.
Oh, yeah. We spent a lot of time on
Craven. Yeah, we did. Like, yeah. We got less time.
My fifth bottom is Inside Out 2. Yep. Comes out now June 14th.
Oh, more time, but less time than that.
Follow Riley in her teenage years, encountering new emotions. That's it. That's the synopsis. Just new emotions. Okay. This is directed by Kelsey Mann, who wrote The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, no.
The worst one.
Starring Amy Poehler, Phyllis Smith, and Lewis Black. Bill Hader and Mindy Kaling are not returning.
They're
the voice
not?
Cast. No. They have like Tony Hale, I think, in the cast replacing, because, you know, he just does that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Tony Hale is discount Bill Hader.
Yeah, I think so. I could be getting that wrong.
He's Forky.
But the new emotions for this one, because basically you have all the emotions that we grew to tolerate in that first movie. What was that, 2016, I think? Yeah. And now Riley, which I do like that Pixar is aging up the character, because this is something they should have done for Incredibles 2. That Riley's a little bit older, and now she's dealing with anxiety, envy, and
ennui,
and embarrassment. And they are going to take over the mind palace, essentially, and Joya is going to try to get it back through the same way without Bing Bong. And
oh, Bing Bong.
I know. And that's the best part of the movie, let's be honest. I do like there. It is like Riley's story of like, you know, like, because I have daughters this age and, you know, there's insecurities. But at the same time, this story was kind of told in Turning Red, I feel.
Okay.
Yeah. I look forward to the movie potentially having some interesting things to say about feelings and emotions that you could like be sitting down and talking to your teen about, and it's like a visual representation. Mm-hmm. I even know my wife, who as a therapist, has pointed to moments within the original Inside Out.
Cool.
It simply is a way of verbalizing or visualizing how you might be feeling. Mm-hmm. So if it can be a decent tool for that, I mean, I could see why it would be useful. I just hope that it does have heart.
It does, and
a message.
And actually, I really enjoyed the animation of the original Inside Out.
Me too.
It's like those little tiny soft bubbles.
It's almost like felt.
Yeah. I really like that. It was one of those visual things that I've never forgotten.
Stunning movie.
Yeah.
Joel, in your opinion, when was the last good Pixar sequel made? What year? Pixar sequel. When was the last quality?
Toy Story 4.
Okay, I'm asking the wrong person. It's 3.
Well, no. I'm saying, you said good.
I said good.
Yeah,
you said good.
I would call Toy Story 4 good.
It's good.
It's not great.
It's an unnecessary epologue.
Okay. But I would say 2010. It's been a while since Pixar has had that
Toy Story 3 is
that quality. And maybe if Inside Out 2 is Toy Story 4 quality, maybe we'll all smile on it. But I think the Pixar shine has long been gone.
It's not like Incredibles 2 is bad.
Yes, it is.
It's just unnecessary.
It's bad.
It's not bad.
I know you like...
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being bad.
It's got a lot of Elastigirl.
I definitely have not got back and watched it, though.
Right. All right. That's my number 5.
Thank you. All right, Kent, tell me your number 4.
Garfield comes out May 24th.
The Garfield movie. Please say the full name.
Is it the Garfield movie?
I have no idea.
The Garfield prequel, the Garfield whatever it is. I don't even know.
Also, formal announcement. I'm being replaced by Chris Pratt on Bacon Sale.
Yeah, we were going to let you know later, but...
You think he's going to sound like you, but it just sounds like Chris Pratt. Because
that was the most disappointing thing is watching like the promos for these things, and it's like it's Garfield. He's gonna have it's Chris Pratt's voice. It's Mario's voice. It's Lego guy's voice.
Emmett,
that's his name.
Yeah.
Garfield is about to go on a wild outdoor adventure. After an unexpected reunion with his long-lost father, the cat Vic, Garfield and Odie are forced to abandon their pampered life to join Vic in a hilarious high-stakes heist. Okay, Garfield outside. First of all, that's wrong in any canon. And Garfield on like an outdoor adventure. Like, what is this? Open season 3? Like, nobody needs to see this. And I just made an open season 3 reference.
How dare you defile the name of open season?
I didn't say open season one or two.
The first movie is a masterpiece.
All right, but the cast in this movie is kind of awesome, except for Chris Pratt.
Okay, so we have...
I'm kind of a hater.
Wait, you like Samuel L. Jackson as Vic?
I like Samuel L. Jackson, end of sentence.
Okay, did you see Captain Marvel 2? No,
is it a Marvel movie? Of course I didn't see it.
Yeah, of course. Who plays John in this movie?
John is Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, that's okay.
Nicholas Holt. Ving Rhames is Otto. We've got Jinx as Hannah Waddingham, who is the owner of the soccer team in Ted Lasso. And you've got Brett Goldstein who as Roland.
Sir, are you trying to sell this? I will say...
He was Roy Kent in Ted Lasso.
Maybe because it's not trying to be a live-action movie.
Snoop Dogg is in it as Snoop Cat.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm out.
No. I think the animation fits the style. I just don't think the comedy will fit any sort of Garfield that we know or liked back in the day. And I don't think that... kids care about the IP.
No, I think anymore. That's actually the problem. We don't need to see a Garfield from back in the day because I'll be honest, Garfield is it. I think
is it like Heathcliff?
It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon of like this lazy schmuck stereotype that I think it went away in the 90s. We don't really do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's relevant in the slightest.
Yeah. So I hope it bombs.
I do too. Okay.
It is called the Garfield movie, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It
thank you, Joel.
The poster is a picture of Garfield movie. There we go. Joel, what is your number four?
My number four comes out July 19th, and it's Twisters.
Oh,
it is not.
It is what? Twisters.
Is this most anticipated?
This is least anticipated.
Do you not like having fun with a mid-budget movie?
Joel, it's like Twister.
There's no Z at the end. This is not Utah.
Twisters.
So this is, okay, this is the plot summary. An update to the 1996 film Twister, which centered on a pair of storm chasers who risked their lives in an attempt to test an experimental weather system. So the first movie is fun. I enjoy Twister. Yeah. I love the soundtrack of Twister. Remember Human Beings, Van Halen? Anyway.
I need to listen to it.
But this stars Daisy Edgar-Jones, Glenn Powell, Anthony Ramos,
Philip Seymour Hoffman,
Maura Tierney, and a bunch of other people. Twister was a movie of its time.
Uh-huh.
It is fun.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. But it is fun.
Because like a storm chasers feels like a 90s sort of concept.
Yes.
Right.
And I feel like, and this is the other thing I found out, when they were talking about making this movie, mm-hmm. Helen Hunt, who was in the original movie, we all love Helen Hunt, right?
It's great.
She was going to write and direct a sequel. And the studio went, no, reject.
What?
And they rejected her script. So the mere fact that they are shaming Helen Hunt and they are rejecting Helen Hunt, I reject this movie.
Because she's not even in this, right?
No. As far as I know, no.
Would you like the reason why this is going to make money?
I would like this reason, yes.
Well, let's go back to 2011, gentlemen. A little movie called The Immortals came out. It is garbage. It's starring
Henry Cavill
and Mickey Rourke. Hmm. It is a garbage movie. It made $226.9 million. That's
actually a pretty
good return.
Abs.
Why did it make money?
Abs.
Because it was the first role starring Henry Cavill post-Superman casting.
Oh.
David Cornsweet is in Twisters.
Hey, that's what happens when you shuck corn.
It's true.
Corn sweat.
Corn sweat. Who's that?
Corn sweat is Superman.
He's your new Superman
in the new.
David Corn Sweat. Oh,
he is the new Superman. He is in this movie. So I think people are going to go see Twisters just to get a peek.
The mere fact that I had no idea who you're talking about doesn't
bode well. $96,000 is in this movie
as well. True. Anthony Ramos, as well as...
Oh, he has a name.
As well as Hangman himself, Glenn Powell.
Yes. Who?
The guy who they're trying to make a thing.
I love Glenn Powell, but also who?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of big names in it.
This is going to make movie because people are going to be curious.
It seems
about
like you're mostly
Superman.
Just mad, Joel. That seems like a spite choice.
Also, no Philip Seymour Hoffman in this one? No Bill Paxton in this one?
Honestly, no, they're going to dedicate this.
Did you know why?
And Bill Paxton?
I wonder why.
I think they're going to dedicate it to Bill Paxton, but the fact that I didn't use Helen Hunt also, like, that feels wrong.
Also, I feel like it's gonna have a heavy-handed message. It's just going to be part of it. I can already hear it.
About tornadoes?
Yeah.
Oh.
Climate stuff.
What if it's just fun?
I hope it is. I hope it is. Unfortunately, I don't think it will be.
All right.
Joel, it's two tornadoes. Two of them.
There were two in the first one. Remember they come at him at the same time?
Oh, yeah. They should call that Twisters.
Yeah.
The first one is just a big Ram trucks commercial. And this one will be too.
I bought seven after seeing the movie.
You were 14.
Oh, just kidding. I'm looking at the trailer. It's a Toyota. Oh, no. Okay.
Zach's out.
What is your number three?
My third least anticipated movie for this summer is The Crow coming out August 23rd.
Yeah. Was this pushback?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So The Crow, plot summary of this one, soulmates Eric Draven and Shelley Webster are brutally murdered. Given the chance to save his true love by sacrificing himself, Eric sets out to seek revenge, traversing the world to the living and the dead to put the wrongs things right and hoping each time that his next leap will be the leap home.
Whoa. I love what you did there. Speaking of IPs that no one cares about.
Right.
So
this was originally supposed to come out in June.
I have a confession to make, gentlemen.
Have you seen any Crow?
I've eaten crow.
You're about to.
No.
Have you?
Back in the day. No, when I was a kid and the original Crow came out in 1994, I want to say.
With Jason Lee.
Brandon Lee. I was going to say, that's my name is Earl.
Yeah.
Leading the witness.
There's Kent. Jason Lee. He's
you led me
book.
To the wrong name.
There's a Lee.
No, but I was kind of obsessed with the idea of the Crow.
Yeah.
I had the poster in my room.
It was 90s mood.
So I may edgy. Have done my makeup, the makeup like the crow on my face.
Wait, for fun?
Yeah.
Joel, yes. Tell me pictures exist.
They're not of then, but I have done it sometimes since then because I learned how to do it, and then I kind of did it because I thought it was a cool look to brand it. And
Halloween.
If you don't know the tragic story behind the original Crow, the actor Brandon Lee during the filming of the movie was actually killed during a scene in the movie. They were shooting him and a gun misfired, and there was like a blank that wasn't quite working right or something. Yeah,
essentially,
like that.
It was the Alec Baldwin's rust of its time. Mm-hmm. You know, a very just unfortunate onset accident.
Very accident.
Yeah.
But then they had to digitally replace his face in some scenes, and they still released the movie. So maybe that was behind it too. But I loved the idea of this guy who came back from the dead to take revenge and could not die, you know, as long as the crow lived.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was great. And then I watched the movie and I was like, oh, this is not good. This is not good.
It's a little too gritty.
It was a little, kind of grimy, and gross.
Grimy, yeah.
The new one stars Bill Skarsgård as Eric Draven.
Which one's
and
that?
And FKA.
The skinny one, Pennywise.
And FKA Twigs as Shelley Webster.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Her name is FKA Twigs.
Yeah.
That's not very sitting well for me. This is based on a comic book series that came out in the 80s. This is apparently the fifth installment in the Crow film series.
And that's
series.
The problem. The sequels, not that the first one was amazing, but the sequels really watered down the idea. And now they're just trying to reboot it instead of like sequelize it.
Yeah.
When the idea could be totally different characters without ruining the quote unquote legacy.
Yeah. Well, and I watched the trailer for this one and I got the same kind of like the feeling when I watched it. Like, oh, this is going to be kind of just grimy. And
early advance word is it's bad. And that's why they delayed it just a few months.
Okay. Also, Alex Proyas, the original director of The Crow back in 94, he said in 2019, he was talking about there's potential reboot rumors around there. And he said, it's not just a movie that can be remade. It's one man's legacy. And it should be treated with that level of respect.
Wow.
Because he said when Brandon Lee died, it became kind of this.
He's what we picture.
Yeah.
Right.
And so now he's like, well, this is back in 2019, but he said that. I was kind of like, I kind of feel the same way. Like how the movie came together really didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it should be made again because of what happened in the first one.
Yeah, this I legacy agree with that. Thing.
And it's directed by Rupert Sanders, who directed Ghost in the Shell, the live action one, and Snow White and the Huntsman.
He's done a good movie.
Has he?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
That first one.
Which one's that?
That's the first one of the... The apes.
That's the James Franco reboot. One.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The monkey movies. Yeah.
The monkey movies. We'll talk about them.
Kent, what do you have for three?
Borderlands comes out August 9th.
What?
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
Have you played the game?
Yeah, the first, actually three of them. I didn't play the fantasy one yet, but I played the first three. And I love the second one, but the first two are very good. And then it falls apart. Based on the best-selling video game. This all-star action adventure follows a ragtag team of misfits on a mission to save a missing girl who holds the key to unimaginable power. Guys, I'm sorry. I know everyone loves it. But I now think that Guardians of the Galaxy is the worst thing the MCU has ever created because every movie tries to be Guardians of the Galaxy now. If you've seen the trailer...
So it means it was one of the best things the MCU
created. No, because of the influence is so corrupted at this point. It's just gross. The trailer is annoying. It's got the 70s song playing over it. I hate it. And it has nothing, well, almost nothing to do with the games. It's cool that Cate Blanchett's in this movie.
I kind of liked it. It's not on my list of most anticipated. But
well, there's a couple potty jokes in there that we've talked about.
That was no great. But the trailer was somewhat enjoyable.
The entirety of the humor of the game appeals to a 14-year-old boy. And I think the movie will do the same. But I happen to not be one of those, so I don't know how much I care.
I think Jack Black will be entertaining as the voice of Claptrap, because that's a fun character.
He's a robot, yeah.
This feels like Mad Max filmed in the volume to me. Nothing feels real whatsoever.
Mad Max filmed in the volume?
The volume is what Disney uses for all their TV shows. The
big dome.
The screens that show stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
It's like green screen, but it's real.
It's for locals. No, it's like projection. Going to the planetarium. and watching the movies on the big dome.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm sorry, I cannot buy Kevin Hart as an action hero.
Nope.
I can't do it.
Kevin Hart's another one. They've been trying to make a thing for years, and it's just not happening.
So, yeah.
He's got some good comedy bits.
I will watch this.
Both of them.
Joel, I bet we forget about this the second this movie ends. And that's about as far as I want to talk about it.
What about your number two, Mr. Kent?
Kraven the Hunter. Oh, like boy. Joel said, comes out August 30th.
Yes.
It's like they know we've already recorded this show, and then they decide to delay it. Like, we're going to be mad that Kraven's delayed. J.C. Chander, who is directing this movie, he did direct All Is Lost, which I kind of liked, and the Despacito music video.
That's the number one music video of all time.
Yeah. He directed that?
Yeah. And this is rated R. Did we talk about this?
Kraven the Hunter?
Yeah, it's purposely rated R.
Mm.
And I think they're trying to say, hey, look, we know we're not going to get a lot of money, and we'll blame it on the R rating. And plus, there'll be a little bit of blood, so maybe we'll bring in an edgier crowd that cares about
Kraven. Did Morbius? Was Morbius rated R?
I don't think so.
I would like to tell you, but I don't remember.
I don't know anything about it.
It's Morbin time, though.
But that's all you get. Kraven the Hunter, that's my second bottom. You know what? Now it's my first bottom of the end of the year preview of 2024.
All right. Joel, what's your second bottom?
Well, my second bottom I actually talked about before on our first episode of the season, or second episode of the season. Mm-hmm. It's Bad Boys Ride or Die. Mm-hmm. Comes out June 7th.
Bad Boys for Life.
Bad Boys Die 3 Life.
Fast X, Your Bad Boys.
So this would be Bad Boys was the start. The Boys? I don't know.
So this is directed by, I'm not going to get these names right. Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fala, who directed Miss Marvel and Bad Boys for Life.
And Batwoman, which we'll never see the light of day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So here's the plot summary from IMDb. This summer, the world's favorite bad boys are back with their iconic mix of edge-of-your-seat action and outrageous comedy, but this time with a twist. Miami's finest are now on the run. Wow.
But, like, what do you expect from these movies? Did you see the last one? Did you see Four no, Life? The third
I've only
one?
Seen one and two, I believe.
I liked it.
You like Bad Boys for Life?
Yeah.
I kind of think this movie's going to be fine.
I mean, it's no Bad Boys 2. That thing is a classic.
And this, I talked about this on our previous episode, but the reason I want this to bomb is because they're like, look how much money Bad Boys for Life made.
Yeah.
It was the number one American movie in all of 2020. Oh. And then all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, what's that asterisk right there? Oh, that's right. It was one of the few movies that came out before it actually get some money before theater shut down. Yeah. So the fact that they're making a fourth one, and there's a little luster lost with the cast as well.
I actually want Martin Lawrence to succeed as much as I don't want Will Smith to succeed. So I'm kind of split on this one. Mm. For some reason, I enjoy Martin Lawrence and his weird career.
What if at one point during the movie, Martin Lawrence slaps Will Smith across the face?
That should happen.
It probably will.
In fact,
there's going to be a joke.
Would appreciate it.
I called it again. I will call it again.
Okay.
There's going to be a joke.
You called
there's
it in the first
yeah. There's going to be a slap joke in Bad Boys Ride or Die.
And do you think Will Smith's going to look at the camera?
Probably
so?
a little
fourth wall break.
Yeah, probably so.
Okay.
I actually think he has an ego such that he will not let that happen.
Probably. You're probably right.
Yeah.
This is also one of those trailers that I started watching and then learned very quickly this is not a trailer I'm old enough for.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, okay, let's watch the trailer. Nope, I'm out.
I think this movie's going to be fine and it's going to make pretty good money. Like, that's not a ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think it'll hit its target audience, it'll make decent money, and it'll be a good airplane movie.
Woo!
Right.
Are you saying because there's not a Fast and Furious this year?
Yeah.
This is that kind of movie.
It's not going to reach the heights of Fast and Furious, sure. But it feels that niche.
Yeah, I get that.
But that's my two.
All right. Before we get to our number ones, do you have honorable mentions you'd like to mention?
Bombing honorable mentions?
Yes.
I put on here the Garfield movie. I did mention as well. There was another one called The Story of Tom and Jerry, which...
Is it a documentary? What is it?
I don't know. I was reading the synopsis. I'm like, this sounds stupid and a bad idea. So no. Also, Babes. That was another trailer. I was
Babes.
Which is that the sequel to In the City?
No,
it's multiple Babes. It's just, is it like Twisters with multiple pigs?
No, it comes out May 17th, and it's one of those.
That was cute.
It's one of those look how filthy female comedians can be kind of movies.
Oh.
One of those trailers that I kind of turned off.
Why do they do that? Like last year, they had the dogs movie, Strays. And then they had the kids telling dirty jokes movie the year before.
Yeah, it's that type of thing where it's like, hey, shock comedy. Mm. Yay. So those are kind of honorable mentions I put out there.
Kent?
One of them I'm going to save because I think it will be Joel's number one. But I'm going to mention Harold and the Purple Crayon. This comes out August 2nd.
Oh, you starring like a bomb?
Zachary Levi?
It's yeah,
be a I think as a child, movie.
I feel really bad for Zachary Levi, even though I think it's kind of his fault. I don't know what's going on.
He's tanked his own career.
You guys remember the books, you know, that Vaguely. Were like kind of boring and stuff? Now they have Zachary Levi coming to life as Harold the baby. I don't know what's going on. And then The Crow, my other honorable mention.
Okay.
Well, what is your number one, Kent?
Deadpool and Wolverine.
That's your number one you want to bomb?
Oh, yeah.
You hate smugness.
Oh, yeah. You say that like it's a bad thing, Joel. Joel, I do not hate smugness.
I'm just saying.
I hate it when people are unctuous.
I'm just saying, kettle, you're talking to the pot there.
Oh, my goodness.
Did I get that backwards? Pot, kettle?
No, I mean, it sounds right. I hate smugness. I guess you're right. You know what else I hate? Nostalgia baiting. I hate cameos for cameo's sake, and that's all this movie will be.
I didn't make it to the end of this trailer either.
The first or second one, because there's two out now.
Is there a green band one? Because I'm tired of these red bands. I don't really
know. No, it's just red band.
They're both.
No, this is the meta of these guys being friends in real life.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's not even I don't even think it's necessarily a cameo thing. I think it's literally just, hey, we're friends in real life, and I talked him into making this movie.
Do you think?
But it does feel like a culmination of this running gag of Deadpool and Wolverine that's been going on.
It's
Ryan Reynolds
true.
And Hugh Jackman.
And the very fact that Deadpool was done so poorly in that Wolverine Origins movie, like it's going to be fun to see them together.
That's the dead horse that just keeps beating.
Totally. I do think people are going to root for Hugh Jackman just to succeed. Like, because it's been a while since he's been Logan as Wolverine, you know?
I showed my wife about half the trailer, and she's like, this is just Wolverine saying the F word over and over again.
So, Joel, you won't watch the Red Band trailer, the newest one, but it's like, hey, look, we're 16, and I just learned the F word. That's really all the trailer is.
Which sounds like Deadpool, honestly.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It was utilized in Logan as well, but to, I think, better effect than it seems to be in this movie.
Directed by Sean Levy, who did Free Guy, which I thought was fun.
And Deadpool.
Date Night. No, he hasn't done Deadpool.
Date Night, not Game Night.
Game Night's good. Date Night's...
Nah. Date Night's bad. And Big Fat Liar. And
Big Fat Liar?
He did Big Fat Liar, which...
Like Paul Giamatti?
Like back in the day, died blue?
That is a classic, my dude.
Listen, and it takes elements from the first season of Loki, which maybe not a lot of people saw, maybe a lot of people don't care about. But when it ties in too much to the MCU, and I know it's going to say goodbye to the X-Men universe and try to recreate a Marvel universe, there's too much going on, and they're going to say, hey, fan cast, isn't this fun? Remember when we put John Krasinski in that one movie? That's all this movie is going to be.
I figured out why Kent hates Deadpool. Because he wishes it was him on the screen saying all these things.
How dare you?
It's you there sitting there. You're mocking the very thing that he's mocking, but you're like, he mocked it first, and that's why I don't like it.
Come on.
I'm just saying you would have enjoyed it if you were in the
Deadpool. And he's real handsome. He has abs. He's married to Blake Lively. It's fine. It's fine.
You're just jealous of Ryan Reynolds.
You found me out.
I knew it.
All right, Joel, what's your number one?
Just real quick, the funny thing to me, I'm watching this trailer, and I'm like, oh, look, you know, Wolverine is being so gruff. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, Hugh Jackman's just coming off a run in Music Man as Harold Hill to play Wolverine.
He's a what?
Well, he's a Music Man.
Oh, what do you talk?
What's your number one, Joel?
No surprise here. And Kent probably saw it coming a mile away. It's Despicable Me 4.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, you just have an axe to grind with this franchise.
Hate Minions, you hate Despicable Me.
I do not hate Despicable Me.
Since 2, you probably hated it.
I hate...
Because 3's not good.
How big these movies keep getting. How much money these movies keep making. And the first one is great. I actually really enjoy the first one. But since then, it's just like, oh, come on, let it go. Plot summary. Gru, Lucy, Margot, Edith, and Agnes welcome a new member of the family, Gru Jr., who is intent on tormenting
Grunier?
His dad. Grunier?
I just spit.
Grunier? This
oh, that's
follows.
Good. I hate that. It gives me like a gut reaction. Grunier.
This follows the traditional path of like family comedies where it's like, hey, here's this character. Hey, here's this character married. Hey, here's this character married with children.
Yeah.
And although this one kind of had the children in the first one, but still, Gru has a baby. That's the big thing
now.
It
works well in Shrek.
Does it?
Shrek 4 is kind of good.
Shrek 4 is kind of good. 3 is not good.
3 is not good.
Puss in Boots any day.
Yeah.
Last wish.
Yeah, for sure.
But the sixth installment of the Despicable Me
franchise. Have there only been two
overall.
Minions movies? That's so weird.
Yeah,
that they
so this
made
is
more.
Despicable Me 4 with two Minions movies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And this is one of those weird ones where it's going to be, I think it's coming to theaters and then it's going to Netflix. No. It's going to Peacock for the first 4 months of pay TV.
Okay.
Then moving to Netflix for the next 10, then going back to Peacock for the remaining
they've
four.
They've already said that long?
Apparently. So they've already got it all set up.
Because they've been paid. And so they are able to save that. Okay.
I think I like the Despicable Me franchise because Gru is basically just when I try to pronounce German words. It's just kind of what happens on accident.
Yeah. And good for Steve Carell. And I like Kristen Wiig. I have nothing against any of the cast members here. But this has Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, Will Ferrell, Joey King, Sofia Vergara, Miranda Cosgrove, Stephen Colbert, Steve Coogan, Chloe Fineman. Like, it's the same basic cast you've been getting to enjoy this whole time. But I'm just like, let's not keep making Despicable Me movies. Let's not keep beating this dead horse. Let's just keep moving forward. So, sorry, Despicable Me 4. Nothing personal when you come out on July 3rd, but I'll be doing something else.
It feels so personal.
At this point.
Every time these movies are even announced.
You did... You
fine, I'm jealous of Gru.
You had married to animated Kristen Wiig.
You've had multiple journal entries about this franchise. We know this for a fact.
Running gags.
Okay, can we...
Let's get to your top.
I'm done being a little negative.
Yes, let's get happy.
Yes.
The tippity top?
Let's have some fun. Joel... We're going to get to your good list. What is your fifth top? Fifth from the top.
My fifth best. My fifth top most anticipated. I've talked about it before on Bake and Sell. Mm-hmm. Not another church movie. You guys remember when I talked about that on the beginning of the episode?
One day. Okay. One day I'll remember.
When I see this title, I go, hey, do they make a sequel to Home Teachers or RM?
Oh, it's
but
so
it's
bad.
Not that kind of.
Hold on. This is not another church movie. It's like not another teen movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like.
But
it's,
like, remember it's those
a riff
movies?
On Tyler Perry movies, which Tyler Perry movies are already riffed themselves, so it's just ridiculous. Not my real pick.
Allison Hannigan and
although Vivica
movies.
A. Fox is in that movie.
Joke, Joel, pick.
We spend way too much time on the jokes.
I did talk about this movie before, and that's why I had both of them here, because it's A Quiet Place Day One.
Okay.
And this is directed by Michael Sarnowski, who directed Pig, which you liked, Kent.
I did like that.
And this has Lupita Nyong'o in it, who I really enjoy her, mm-hmm. and...
Jimon Hunsu.
Thank you. I can never say. I always want to say Digimon, and that's not appropriate.
Don't.
But this
it's Yu-Gi-Oh! Actually,
the plot summary just says: experience the day the world went quiet. It's a prequel, but it's also like
it's
different
a
point
side,
of view.
Sidequel.
Yes.
Right. It's like it's
happening
this
in the same universe.
Happening.
As
Jimon Hunsu. He actually appears in Quiet Place.
He does.
Two?
He's playing the same character as he did then.
So
which I forgot he was in that.
But. Yeah.
I think at this point for me, I look at it and go: has the Quiet Place franchise, we'll call it, have they not kind of earned enough goodwill for us to kind of have a little bit of trust in this movie? As much as it might be unnecessary.
Why. No.
And it's Lupita Nyong'o.
The first one was a surprise.
The first one is great, and the second one is actually really
second
good.
Second is of the same quality.
I think people got tired of the concept.
I don't think they're tired yet. I think this one can still pull it off. And like I said, Lupita Nyong'o is a draw to me because I think she's a fantastic actress.
Do you think that they are removing it from the horror genre and making it more of a action thriller?
Has that ever worked in movies where the first one was a horror and the second one was an action?
Alien and Aliens.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going
and
for.
And Terminator 2.
Yep.
So I think with this one, you can, it was The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead. Like this is an interesting concept to me.
Yes. Also, Ken, I think I may agree with you a little bit there because Michael Bay is involved with his production company.
Platinum Dunes. They do some good movies.
Yeah. So he's involved with this. So it could be more action-y. I think we're going to see more of the creatures, which, hey, you know what? It was kind of cool to see them a little more in the second one. Mm-hmm. But I don't want it to turn into like, it could be too much. So that's why it's fifth. I'm
okay with too much.
You're okay with too much?
Because we've had the restraint.
Who are you, Dave Matthews?
We've had the restraint. Now I want
too much.
This is the whole, like, what you can do with this concept, which is we have this family who took the stealth route.
Yes.
What if elsewhere in the country, elsewhere in the world, everyone's
screaming?
They took a guns a-blazing. Like, I'm going to make my presence known.
The trailer did, like, I had an emotional reaction to it. I was kind of like, oh, that's terrifying. And that's why I kind of went, yes, I want to see
And
this.
I think that's the beauty of the trailer because it seems like, well, they shouldn't survive that situation. And the movie should tell that story well, hopefully.
Yeah. But that's my number fifth most anticipated for the summer of 2024.
I'd like to formally say, good pick, Joel.
Thank you.
Kent?
Long legs. One word.
Now, weird pick, Kent. Joel, what else you got? I like your list.
No.
Have you met me?
Kent, when you say long legs.
Uh-huh.
I tried to look up information about this. I watched a trailer for this. You know what I understand about this movie? Nothing. Nicolas Cage is in it, and I understand nothing.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to not know?
No, I want when
it's I
see
the mystery.
Trailer.
It's like, oh, a Sundance movie is coming out. I don't know anything about it, but I hear it's good. How cool is that?
I enjoy going in blank, sure. Yeah. But if it comes out a trailer and I finish the trailer and I have no reason to watch it.
Are you okay with me reading synopsis or is that giving too much away?
No, go for it.
Okay.
I would like to know more about this movie.
FBI agent Lee Harker is assigned to an unsolved serial killer case that takes unexpected turns, revealing evidence of the occult. Harker discovers a personal connection to the killer and must stop him before he strikes again. So this is a very standard like serial killer thing. There may be some ghostly stuff in there, a lot of cryptic stuff. This has Micah Monroe as your main character and Nicolas Cage as the killer. Now, these trailers have purposely been misleading. In fact, they're just eerie.
Yeah.
Right? They don't show anything. They show him maybe humming and maybe dragging a body or something. This is a creepy looking, A24 type movie, even though it's not A24.
It felt very A24-ish. And it's long legs. It's one word.
Yeah, it's just long legs, like daddy long legs. Nick Cage could ruin the movie, honestly. But I think the fact that
said no one ever.
The fact that they're not really showing him being over the top is a nice step, is a step in the right direction. I am more curious about this movie, and I do love some weird horror, so I think this one's going to be right up my alley.
Remember when people would just go to the movies, look at a poster, and say, that's playing next, I'll go there?
Right.
Yeah. I would not survive in that world. And apparently neither would Joel. Kent, what's your number four?
Alien Romulus.
Okay, really? So correct me, is this Ridley Scott doing this one?
No.
Is he involved at all?
He is producing.
That's not good.
He said, no, he said he likes it. But guess what? James Cameron said that about every Terminator movie,
this is
movie,
the
right?
best Terminator sequel since Terminator 2.
And guess
2.
What? When I read you a synopsis, you're going to say, I hate the sound of that movie. Young people from a distant world must face the most terrifying life form in the universe. That's it. It's kids against the alien.
And I watched the trailer for this one, too. Mm-hmm. And it essentially says, like, hey, there's these people, and they find xenomorphs. And every single time a facehugger is on the screen, I get the chills. That is a big fear of mine.
Did you know, has guys seen Alien? It's really good.
Yeah.
And it holds up. And that's all you need to, like Alien and Aliens, that's it.
I liked Alien Covenant.
Is that the one that came out before this one?
That came after Prometheus.
I used to hate Prometheus, and then I had a movie club where this guy, one of our mutual friends,
gave the 4-hour cut.
Prometheus, and I like it now. And I'm sad that Disney Fox is not choosing to continue the David story.
Yeah.
And that's Michael Fassbender android story.
Because
it was going really creepy places, but this one is directed by Fede Alvarez, who did Evil Dead and Don't Breathe. This guy knows how to do suspense like no other, and with the xenomorph, I'm in.
So if we can have more of an original Alien vibe,
yeah,
as opposed
that's precisely what they're going for.
No, but they're saving that for Alien Remus.
Because, I mean, Prometheus, the story is way too complicated, and you're like, am I supposed to know or care about these engineers? Like, show me an alien. Mm-hmm. Show me the carnage. And I think that's what Covenant kind of went back on the right track, right?
Yes.
Even though a lot of people don't like that one either. But you know what? It's going to be bloody. It's going to be thrilling. And I'm in.
Okay.
So, Alien, Romulus.
On first pass, I was like, ugh, here we go again. But same. You may have sold me on
And the trailer sold me. And that's August 16th.
Joel, what would you like to sell me on?
If there's one thing I could recommend everyone to do.
Here we go.
It's playing with tarot cards. So I'm choosing tarot.
Miss Cleo.
Joel, what if it's good?
No, it's not going to be good.
I know it won't. But what if it's good?
Wait, is this in the Hasbro universe?
By the way, don't play with tarot cards.
It's kids. Not like it's a Ouija board.
Don't play with hero cards, kids. I'm just meddling.
Are the Transformers going to show up at the end?
Maybe.
Or Battleship?
That's my joke pick.
G.I. Joe.
What? G.I. Tarot?
The Hasbro franchise.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you got?
G.I. Tarot.
No, my number four is going to disappoint. Wow. My number four is going to disappoint Kent, and I'm sorry. But it's on my list.
Okay.
It's just not that high.
Okay.
It's Furiosa Mad Max Saga.
That's fine.
So. Here's why.
I got sad.
I know you did. Directed by George Miller, who did Mad Max 1, 2, 3, 4, Babe, Pig in the City, and Happy Feet 1 and 2.
Always.
And the plot summary.
I like Babe, Pig in the City.
The origin story of the renegade warrior Furiosa before her encounter and team up with Mad Max. Why I think this is good is because Furiosa was a fascinating character in Mad Max Fury Road, played by Charlize Theron. And seeing her story could be very interesting. However, I was worried that this was going to be kind of a cash grab prequel kind of thing.
Right.
Like, you know, we know this character. And also, I don't think Anya Taylor-Joy looks anything like Charlize Theron.
No. Sure.
But I found out in my research that they spent over 15 years writing the script for Mad Max Fury Road. And as they were doing it, they developed
a script.
They drive. Yeah. They turn left. They turn around. They go back.
They actually had to drive it just to, you know, really make sure it was right. No, but they actually, as they did, they created backstories for all the characters in particular. Imperator Furiosa.
Okay.
And because of that, they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do Fury Road back to back with Mad Max Furiosa. They're going to film it at the same time.
Wow.
But then they decided, no, we're just going to film this. So this isn't like an afterthought. This was a thought initially. And I think they have created a character that is interesting enough that the story could be good.
When they announced it, it felt like an afterthought because they didn't quite know what to do with Max in Fury Road. And I was like, did they just disregard the character? I hope not.
Yeah, but I don't think they will. And I think this could be good. It could also just be meh.
I will use the exact same logic I used on your previous pick, which is, has it not built up enough goodwill to this point to get a little bit of trust?
That's the problem. Mad Max 1, meh. Mad Max 2, good.
Cool.
Mad Max 3,
Thunderdome.
Meh. Mad Max 4, good. If it follows pattern, this could be a meh. So I'm worried.
Oh, the
about
Star
that.
Trek pattern for their movies.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And, a little
bit. And people are saying, like, oh, this one looks like it has a lot more CGI than Mad Max Fury Road. And that might be a problem. But again, I have trust that it's going to be cool. Using CGI is not inherently a bad thing. And if it's done creatively, mm-hmm. we could be having a lot of fun. I mean, this is Fury Road is Kent's top movie of 2015.
Yeah.
Like, okay. There's a good chance that this could be good, but we'll see. Good pick, Joel.
Well, I know you said good pick because Anya Taylor-Joy's in it, and you yeah, think every movie
that's all he heard. He glazed over immediately.
George Miller actually chose Anya Taylor-Joy because he saw an early cut of the film Last Night in Soho and went that.
Really?
That's my Furiosa. Yeah.
Oh, that's I would have gone with Thomasin McKenzie, but that's cool.
She's so good in that movie.
She's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. What about your number three, Joel?
My number three is, a little darker, shall we say. I'm going the Kent route here.
Okay.
It's Maxine with three X's in the middle. I think it's a sequel to Triple X. I'm not sure.
Oh,
but it sounds like.
No, this is that. You're not allowed to watch this movie.
No, I'm not allowed.
He's not allowed.
I don't know why they keep making these movies. What is the character's name?
So her name is actually Maxine. So it's the first movie. This
Maxine
is,
Minx.
It's just
so
X.
Ty West directed this kind of like.
This is my joke pick, right? By the way. So let's not spend too much time.
He okay. So last year he did X.
Yes.
And then he did Pearl, which is Pearl.
That's what I'm thinking.
And both were really well liked, and Maxine is going to finish the trilogy.
Is Pearl the one from the memes?
Yes.
She wants to be a star?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So
a very disturbing, very grotesque, very perverted horror movie franchise. Mm-hmm. I do not recommend it. That's my joke pick. Yeah. But I...
That's what you get. That's what you get.
I'm choosing Trap. And I know M. Night Shyamalan has let me down so many times, but I can't help
it. It's my number three as well.
Is it?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Even if we didn't see a trailer... It's totally fine because it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I'm not saying it's going to be good, but it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Hey, pretend like we don't know anything about it because I don't.
Okay.
Oh, so M. Night Shyamalan is a director and he's done a lot of movies.
I know. I'm a bigger fan of his than yours because I liked Old.
You need to.
Oh, yeah.
You need to go listen
I had
to,
fun.
Zach and the listener, you need to go listen to Bake Sale episode 24, the M. Night Shyamalan.
We're cute.
Episode 24. We did a director show about him and he still had more movies to make after that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But some are good, better than others. But this stars Josh Hartnett.
Hartnett Sanz?
And yes.
Love it.
Because he was in Oppenheimer. Now he's in this.
He's back. Like,
and Haley Mills. Haley Mills is in this movie.
What? From the Parent Trap?
Yep. From Parent Trap, Miss Bliss. She's in this. And I went, really?
She's still alive?
That intrigued me.
That's so the same person?
If you haven't seen the trailer, I don't want to spoil it too much. But essentially, this father and daughter at this kind of Lady Gaga type concert. He's taking her there. He doesn't really know what's going on. And there's police surrounding the building and they're looking for a killer and they think he's going to be at the concert. And it's just one of those movie trailers where I watched and I went, did they just give away the twist?
It seems that. Yeah.
And if they did, that actually kind of makes it a little more intriguing to me because I'm like, oh, this is a different type of movie.
But it's Shyamalan. There's no way that's the twist.
But could it be good again, Kent? Could this be M. Night Shyamalan
back?
Here's
what's selling me on the movie. And a lot of people say, oh yeah, nepotism. And they're right. But Shalika Shyamalan, who is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter,
yes,
S. Night Shyamalan, will say,
yes,
she is the pop star in this movie. And this movie is an actual concert. It is taking, except for like getting to the concert and everything, it is taking real time place during the actual concert. I'm talking like end of the performance, the encore, and the tension is supposed to build. He's going to, you know, I got to go get some snacks. I got to go to the bathroom. And the concert's still going. And it puts you right into the action. And I think being a kind of near musical, hopefully the music's good.
Hopefully it is.
But also with a tense soundtrack, I'm all the way in. And I think Josh Hartnett needs and deserves a win on this one.
But Kent, you just sold me and lost me at the same time.
Okay, go ahead.
Because you sold me with like kind of the real time thing. I'm like, it's interesting. But his daughter being the singer, it could be very much a, hey, look at my talented kid, everybody.
It really could be.
But it could also be fine.
Yeah. And I think just being an M. Night Shyamalan movie, like we know not to expect anything. But they're always interesting. You always kind of go, oh, I'm excited to see that, even if it's bad.
I just feel like this is like one of those toxic relationships where I should get out of it. I should get out.
You know the red flags by now.
Yeah, I should get out, but I keep being like, oh, well, what's going on? Can I join you? And it's not good. But I picked Trap, as did you.
Same.
Comes out August 9th, and I'll probably go see it with my brothers.
Yeah.
Because we usually do that. We go see these movies together.
Well, that's confusing. Kent, you've already given me your number three then.
Yeah.
What about your number two?
Fall Guy.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I'll sing the whole song.
This one.
I never had heard of this show until we talked about it like midway through last season.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I still know nothing about it.
Stoked for this movie, though.
A down-and-out stuntman must find the missing star of his ex-girlfriend's blockbuster film. This is Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. That's all you need to know.
Now, Kent, did you pick the... Is this the reason we bumped up the summer preview episode?
You know, I wasn't even going to put this one on there because usually when we do the first week of May episode, the movie's already out.
Yes, and it's coming out like this Friday.
Yeah, considering it comes out this
Friday. If
you're
listening when it's real time.
I think this is one, based on advanced buzz and how much fun these two actors have and the chemistry they have, I think this is going to be a hit of the summer. And it's going to be an early hit, but I think it's almost wrong not to just include it because it's going to be a blast.
And it's a movie remake of a TV series from the 80s that starred Lee Majors that I watched.
And it's directed by David Leitch, who did, he helped co-direct John Wick. He directed Bullet Train and Atomic Blonde.
So he knows how to do action. He knows how to do stunts.
Yeah, and really this is a love letter to stuntmen.
Yeah.
Like we need this. And I just hope it's not overly jokey because Ryan Gosling in this trailer, he's acting like he's on the press tour for Barbie still, where he's like, oh, people like me because I'm funny. That's kind of how he's acting in the movie. And I'm a little
jealous?
Worried.
Are you getting jealous of Ryan Gosling now?
He's married to Eva Mendes. I mean, that's pretty cool. And he's Ryan Gosling.
They're so secluded.
Oh, no, guys. I've got Ryan envy. Speaking of Ryan Toys movie is coming out this summer as well.
Oh, Kent Ryan Dunn.
He just changed his name.
Anyways, there's other movies I think will be more interesting, but this one will probably be the most fun movie of the summer. Fall Guy.
Joel?
My number two, Kent, you actually already mentioned it. It's Ryan's World, the movie, Titan there we Universe go. Adventure. You guys remember Ryan's World from YouTube?
So jealous of that guy.
He's making a movie.
He's so rich.
He's making a fortune.
So rich.
Wait, is it going to be unboxing videos? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I didn't dig that deep into the research. It's a joke pick, Kent. No, my number two, is actually Hitman. Comes out May 24th.
Tell me more.
I feel like Kent has brought this movie up before. And
seen
I
it.
Don't know. You saw it. That's right.
Yeah,
it's Sundance.
Yeah.
Hit Spaceman.
And the reason...
Hitman.
So it was kicking around the back of my mind. I think I was like, I think Kent said he watched this. I think he liked it. I can't remember. But it stars Glenn Powell. And that's basically the only name I recognize here.
Just trying to make it happen.
It's directed by Richard Linklater.
Mm-hmm.
And that intrigues me. Because I watched the trailer... And the plot summary is this. A professor moonlighting as a hitman of sorts for a city police department descends into a dangerous, dubious territory and finds himself attracted to a woman who enlists his services. So this guy who pretends to be a hitman to bust people.
And this is Richard Linklater, the director of School of Rock and nothing else.
School of Rock, no. Boyhood, and some before movies before that.
The weirdest filmography because such serious movies.
Yeah.
And then School of Rock, which is just a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
Did he direct Bernie?
Yes. Yeah. And this is much like Bernie. This is based on a true story. This is based on an article that came out in Texas Monthly back in 2001 by a guy named Skip Hollinsworth. And so obviously there's some liberties taken in this. But it really did. Like I had nothing really about this movie on my radar. And then I watched the trailer. And I went, well, I'm intrigued.
It's funny. He Glenn Powell is going to be in Twisters and people say, oh, yeah, that guy, Top Gun guy. They'll see this movie, which sadly is premiering on Netflix.
The guy from the Sydney Sweeney movie.
It's kind of a death sentence for a movie to go to Netflix.
Well, it'll be released in select theaters in May.
Yeah, no one will see it that way.
Netflix in June.
But this is the movie that probably should make his career. He's great in this movie. He also co-wrote it. And the movie is great.
Yes.
It's one of my favorites of the year.
Nice.
So, yeah, look forward to this one.
I will. It's
some heavier
two.
Content for sure. But, yeah, definitely worth watching.
Next, I'd like your... honorable mentions.
Some honorable mentions real quick. If
it's just honorable mention, huh?
It's an honorable mention.
Okay.
It's not gonna be my number one.
Imaginary Friend.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun family movie. I think we'll be able to watch together. It's got Ryan Reynolds in it. I'm sorry.
Kent. Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
So handsome.
And John Krasinski.
I watched John Krasinski hug Steve Carell today, and it was great.
I also have Deadpool and Wolverine on my honorable mentions. Sorry, Kent.
Yeah, that's fine.
In a Violent Nature. It's one where it's from the point of view of like a Jason type character. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that could be intriguing for Halloween. The Dead Don't Hurt Western with Viggo Mortensen comes out May
1st. I've never heard of it.
What?
Western with Viggo?
Yeah.
Also, did you know that Kevin Costner's coming out with a two-part Western?
Yeah.
I'm done with him.
Yeah.
Fly Me to the Moon comes out July 12th. That's about people that have to film the moon landing just in case it doesn't happen.
Because there's an animated movie called Fly Me to the Moon, which wasn't good.
Oh, yeah.
And there's allegedly a forthcoming Leonardo DiCaprio, Frank Sinatra movie.
Could be. And then finally, The Watchers, which is directed by M. Night Shyamalan's daughter.
Her name is I. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, listen.
Is this a different daughter than Night Shyamalan?
Yeah, this is a different daughter.
Okay.
So this movie looks exactly like an M. Night Shyamalan movie concept and everything.
Guess who stars in it? Dakota Fanning. When was the last time you saw her?
Twilight? The last Twilight
Is that right?
Movie?
Is Dakota Fanning in this one?
Yeah, she is.
Okay. It's like a movie where like these people are trapped in a room and there's these people that come watch them. It's like a very, in the trailer, you kind of see it says very thinly veiled kind of analogy of TV watching or movie watching, I guess. But it was interesting enough that I went, yeah, I'll put that on my mentions.
What's it called?
The Watchers.
The Watchers.
They're not in the woods, but well, they are in the woods, but it's not Watcher in the Woods. Kent, what are your honorable mentions?
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes just eked out of my top five.
And ooh, is that one of the monkey movies?
Yeah, it is one of the monkey movies. And here's the thing. I'm not a big fan of Disney. I'm not a fan of them continuing the Planet of the Apes movies because I think that trilogy
tight
is
little bow.
Perfect.
It's great.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Disney's like, hey, people like that. Should we get Andy Serkis? Nah. It's like he's too talented.
You can hear Ryan George of the pitch meeting videos in your head.
Yeah.
Why? Because money. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's precisely it. And I think they're going to tie it into the greater Planet of the Apes movies. I don't know. We'll see.
This part of this whole franchise to make way too many sequels.
Yeah.
And people love them.
That's what happens. Under Paris is a...
Oh, that's the one like before Paris, under Paris, after Paris.
And this one is
Forget Paris.
A great white shark in the rivers of Paris and the sign.
What?
It's a great white shark in Paris.
It's in your honorable mentions for most anticipated.
The trailer's so cool. What's this trilogy? We've got a movie where Billy Crystal meets a girl in Paris.
Yes.
We've got Owen Wilson going back in time and talking to artists.
Yeah.
Yeah. French Kiss has Kevin Kline and...
But it doesn't say Paris, though.
Yeah, Midnight in Paris.
That's like a spinoff.
And this is what?
Under Paris.
Under Paris. There's sharks.
I think I saw Under Paris. Is that the one with As Above, So Below?
That's it. Except we're not ghosts and skeletons. This is this great white shark. I love shark movies, even though they're bad. Hitman, I can't wait to see again. The Watchers, Just Like You, A Quiet Place, Day One, and Twisters. This is actually my honorable mentions I want to see.
I like fine. It.
You're a Glenn Powell fan.
I kind of
you am. Don't have Glenn envy. Glenn V?
Glenn V.
Glenn V.
Glenn V and Grunier this summer. Rated R.
I have Grunier?
You should get that checked out.
All right, Kent, what is your actual factual number one?
It's been mentioned before, but Furiosa.
Of course, I should guess that.
This one comes out May 24th, so right before my birthday, and I'm very happy.
Happy birthday to you.
And Joel, I agree. I think Anya Taylor-Joy is like a bit frail to play a tough Furiosa type.
We need to get past looking like the actor and just acting like the character.
What was that? You hate Austin Butler? For Elvis?
Because
even though he is like a perfect incarnation of Elvis.
I hate Austin Butler for who he is as a person.
Save for our Elvis show.
Actually, Austin Butler should have played Furiosa from Dune 2. Anyways.
What?
I hear he's good at that show.
Because he's bald. And Chris Hemsworth plays the villain in this one. When you first see him.
Yeah, prosthetics?
When you first see him, you see a fake nose, right? Like, is this Maestro? But the way, even in a 2.5 minute trailer, the way he sells the character is so fun.
I also appreciate that he just gets to finally be so Australian in this movie.
It's the first time he's ever been Australian in a movie.
Feels like it.
Thank you, George. No, it really is.
Maybe
is it? Yeah.
Maybe Ghostbusters.
He didn't do Australian movies before coming over.
Well, Thor, he probably couldn't really hide the Aussie accent.
I think he had his accent in Ghostbusters, but nobody saw that movie.
It exists?
Maybe.
Anyways, I think he's having a blast. The fact that we have Immortan Joe, kind of because it is a prequel.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited to see that a little bit more. I don't know if we really need to see, like, you know, remember in, does anyone remember her story, her arc in Fury Road, where she's like, I'm trying to get back home.
She was driving and then she drove. Trying to save the pregnant girl.
It's like, I want to go back home. And that's kind of the whole concept and her rise to power. But you know what? The whole orange and red flame and sand in my eyes, the whole effect, I just can't wait to watch.
I think my favorite thing about this movie is it's going to force me to get to rewatch Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
So even if this one isn't that great, I get to rewatch Fury Road this year, and I'm very excited about that.
Well, and that's really it, because when 2015 happened, we saw Fury Road. It's like a 2-hour car chase, and I went, wow, that movie blew me away. I don't think we'll ever see a movie like that again, even from George Miller.
I don't think the expectations were particularly high either.
Yeah. And now it's 9 years later, and it's like, that's an eternity in movie years. And we get to see kind of a continuation, even though it's a prequel, but like a similar type movie. And I'm stoked. So yeah, that's my number one by a mile, quarter mile.
And Joel, what's your number one?
Well, I think I'm going to say this with all the excitement I can muster. Haikyuu! The Dumpster Battle!
What?
I remember mentioning that one.
It's anime about volleyball, I think.
That you think?
The Back Wanderer?
It's my joke.
Where's the Joel research on that one? The Back Wanderer.
It was anime.
The Back Wanderer should be a main character in that
I don't want to research anime, otherwise it'll start appearing in all my
ads. It's a callback.
Anywho, No, my number one has already been mentioned. It's The Fall Guy.
Okay.
Because yeah. I was a fan of the original series back in the day.
So you did watch it. It yes. wasn't a discovery when we did that show.
No. Okay. I this is one of those 80s shows that I watched way more than I probably should have as a kid. Because it's not like, I mean, it's not that it's like inappropriate or anything, but just it's more like adult fare. Like,
Yeah.
About a stuntman who has to go, and he's a bounty hunter who's a stuntman. And so every episode he ends up doing like this stunt. And so he has a cool truck. Like, Zach, you probably like the truck. But
I'm excited for the car stuff.
Yes. But like you already mentioned, Kent, this is directed by David Leitch, who did Bullet Train and John Wick and Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. And then it also stars Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Aaron Taylor Johnson, and Hannah Waddingham is in this movie as well, who's the owner of the team.
I can't remember her name.
And then Stephanie Hsu from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And this is...
Rebecca.
This is a love letter to stuntmen. Like you said, this used a lot of practical stunts, choreographed action sequences.
Ryan Gosling, Botox.
Much to Zach's dismay.
It's filler.
This movie broke the record, the Guinness Book of World Records, for most canon roles in a car with 8.5 roles performed
I beat the DBS from Casino Royale.
Yeah, beat Casino Royale, car rolling.
Well, I hate this movie.
No, you can't hate it because it...
And then do they put him in a chair after?
No chair in this one.
Okay, did they take the bottom of the chair out?
But yes.
The chair didn't have a bottom?
Neither did Bond.
Anywho, The Fall Guy is one of those that I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's do a remake of this. Everyone's forgotten about the movie, the show by now. And every time I watch something about it, it gets me more excited.
You know what's funny
about
is like we talked about Garfield. We talked about The Crow being IP that no one cares about. Kids don't care about it, or adults don't care about The Crow. But Fall Guy is an IP that really nobody knows about.
It's been forgotten.
So because of that, kind of like Mission Impossible. Well,
I was going to say Mission Impossible. Did anybody know that was a show?
I mean, yes. But at the same time, people didn't know that or care that it was being rebooted.
Oh, like Get Smart.
Yeah.
Bad example.
I love the original series of Get Smart.
I think Fall Guy is primed based on its concept alone to be a reboot.
And I can sing every single word of the theme song by heart, but it does mention a lot of older actresses like Farrah Fawcett and Sally Field. And I think Blake Shelton's updating it. We're going to have a lot of new actresses mentioned in the song maybe, and I don't know how that's going to go. But I am excited to see The Fall Guy.
Is it like Mambo Number 5? Like, why would they mention actresses' names?
He says, like, I've been singing with Farrah. I've been on fire for Sally Field, Gone Fast with a Girl Named Bo. Like, it's all
in
kind
the TV
of,
show. That's a part of the song.
Every single time the show starts, that's the theme song. Is him talking about all these. The whole point is he's doing all these crazy things, but then the actor gets the credit.
He's going to sing about Michelle Rodriguez.
That's the whole point of the song is that he does all these stunts, and yet the actor gets the glory. He's like, I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine. Anyway, I'm not going to sing the song now. Maybe I'll do that like on a patron thing. I'll sing the song. I'll do a cover of it.
8 bits on the credit.
Now, Zach, we've talked a lot about the movies we want to bomb and the ones we want to succeed. Mm-hmm. Do you have any notable ones?
My number one, I'll just go right to it. That's Furiosa.
Okay.
That's for sure. Not because of Anya Taylor-Joy, but because I loved Fury Road so much. And I was so utterly shocked and surprised by how much I enjoyed that movie. I'm very curious. I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but I'm really curious about A Quiet Place Day One because I think it could be good. Also, The Fall Guy, I think I could have some fun. And I will still give Shyamalan a shot.
Which one? Because there's three this summer.
Trap.
Wait, him or his daughter?
Just him. Him. But
Shyamalan.
And I'm just going to give Twisters a shout out.
Yeah, because it'll be fun.
I think it's going to be fun.
Silly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but let us know on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, which movies you are most excited to see this summer. It could be one we picked. It could be one we didn't pick. In fact, a lot of times people will be like, you didn't mention this movie. And I'll be like, I didn't know that was coming out.
Right.
It doesn't have to come out in theaters either. It could be streaming. Mm-hmm. But let us know on Facebook. Let us know on Instagram. Let us know on Twitter. We want to hear from you. But before we go, we'd like to give some love to our patrons, those who help keep the lights on here at the Bacon Cave, including the I Am Listener tier, which has Taylor Sanderson, Some Guy, Sir and Madam Hicks, Shannon West, Scott Sprague, Ryan and Marley, Rocky and Steph, Lady Terry A. Finley, Juice the Cooler King Swallow, Jennifer Kilkowski, Casey Cummings, Angela Plotz, Alicia Bass, and Adam and Rachel Crump. And then we have our Bacon Council, which includes the other Brit, Johnny English, the one, the only Chris Anderson, Stephen, everyone's favorite Ross, Star Wars expert Kyler, our favorite couple, the Madsons, Nicole D. Kale, Her Royal Highness Jessica Terry, Glow Clint Daniel, Debbie Foster, and Beaker.
Thank you, patrons.
You are the Glenn to our Powell.
Who?
I don't know. But if you want to find me, you can find me at 76 Joel on Twitter. You can find me performing with Quick Wits, who perform at the Midville Performing Arts Center and the studio at the Parker Theater. For more details, go to qwcomedy.com or go to the Quick Wits Facebook page.
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Kenny3DD. You can read my movie reviews at ShowtimeShowdown.com.
If you'd like to connect with me, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at Tumbling Mustard. But more importantly, make sure you're following Bacon Sale. Please like that Facebook page and then go to at Bacon Sale on Twitter and Instagram. After you've done that, go to tpublic.com/baconsale where you can get yourself some merch. And then if you like what's going on here and you want to support us further, visit patreon.com/baconsale where you can get all sorts of behind-the-scenes benefits and mostly weekly bacon bits.
Most of the time.
Not every week, but most of the time. patreon.com/baconsale.
So until next time, guys, I'm sorry for all those puns I did in the intro. I know it kind of felt like I was beating a dead pool in Wolverine.
Oh.
Oh, is that Fat Albert or Venom?
I'm a symbiote.
Sergey, best Russian name ever, or close?
Ivan? I'm a Vladimir kind of guy. But then you get Putin, who's kind of ruining that name.
Like Ivan. Ivan's real simple.
I'm going to go with Sergey. It's a good
Save one. For our Russian name.
episode. Tony Hale is discount Bill Hader.
You think he's going to sound like you, but it just sounds like Chris Pratt. What is this, Open Season 3?
How dare you defile the name of Open Season?
I didn't say Open Season 1 or 2.
The first movie is a masterpiece.
Snoop Dogg is in it as Snoop Cat.
It's like Twister.
Did the show change at all in like April of 2020? Did you notice anything?
Did it get better?
Did it get worse? Don't answer that.
Are you all right, Joel?
You lost your headphones.
What happened?
Joel.
Come back to us.
I never let go.
We can't do the show.
It's your first time on the show.
Your ears.
How do headphones work?
Yeah, hold on. Yep.
Oh, you're almost there. The Mid and Me is enjoying this summer.
Yes.
I'm right.
It was on the anniversary show. Nobody got it.
So the mere fact that they are shaming Helen Hunt and they are rejecting Helen Hunt, I reject this movie. So I may have done my makeup, the crow on my face.
Wait, for fun?
Yeah.
Joel, tell me pictures exist.
Yeah.
The screens that show stuff.
Mm. For some reason, I enjoy Martin Lawrence and his weird career. Is it like Twisters with multiple picks?
No, it comes out May 17th. You hate smugness. I figured out why Kent hates Deadpool. Mm. Because he wishes it was him on the screen saying all these things.
How dare you?
It's you there sitting there. You're mocking the very thing that he's mocking, but you're like, he mocked it first, and that's why I don't like it.
Come on.
I'm just saying you would have enjoyed it if you were in the
Deadpool. And he's real handsome. He has abs. He's married to Blake Lively. It's fine. It's fine.
You're just jealous of Ryan Reynolds.
Grunier. Gru is basically just when I try to pronounce German words.
Fine, I'm jealous of Gru. Joke, Joel, pick. If there's one thing I could recommend everyone to do.
Here we go.
It's playing with tarot cards.
I got sad.
I know you did.
You're not allowed to watch this movie.
I just feel like this is like one of those toxic relationships where I should get out of it. I should get out.
You know the red flags by now.
Yeah, I should get out, but I keep being like, oh, well, what's going on? Can I join you?
A great white shark in the rivers of Paris in the sign.
What?
It's a great white shark in Paris.
It's in your honorable mentions for most anticipated.
The trailer's so cool. Oh, I love it. You're like, Kent, you're cut like, this out of the
cut
show.
This out, cut this out. And then you got right on mic.
But it's pretty funny.
Glenn V.
And Grunier.
I have Grunier?
The chair didn't have a bottom?
Neither did Bond.
No.
What do you mean?